Praise ye the Lord. Glory, glory, glory be to God in the highest. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for a glorious time. In the Lord's presence, it's always a glorious time. Because we know for sure here, according to your word, your presence is the fullness of joy. At our right hand, Father, are precious forevermore. We glorify the name, we thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord. It's always our strength. Lord, we are more than conquerors in all the affairs of this life, Lord, through you that loves all. Thank you, Father. The Bible says he has given you a name above every other name, you know, of beings in heaven, of beings on earth, and of beings in hell. In all the three worlds, that at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the Lord. So we thank you. Our conquest is in that name. He has given us that name. It is ours to overcome anything and everything that ever confronts us. So we thank you, Father. It is in your name that you have entered this service this morning. And in your name we go into the word of the Lord this morning. Lord, O Lord God, thank you for whatever blessing you have for us. As we read, Father, in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen
and amen. So this morning, by God's grace, we go back to some of the creations, you know, of the Lord and so forth. The heart in particular, what the Bible says about our planet, the Bible and our planet, you know, where we have touched this in the past in so different many ways. So, but you know, that the word of God cannot be exhausted, really. So in Isaiah 55, verse 9, the Lord said this thing. People think about different things about the planet, about our earth. Before there was so much knowledge has increased. Bible says knowledge has been increased, right? And we are seeing knowledge increased. So Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So it's talking to the children of men, right? And even Christians too, you know. So throughout the long centuries of history, men thought the world was flat, which we have mentioned this one here before many times now. Men thought the world was flat. But a few came up later, and they are more thoughtful, and they expressed a belief that it was round, you know. Then, for those who think it's round, not even knowing the word of God, you know, you will think that they are stupid. Those who think that the earth is flat, they will think people are foolish, you know, or they are stupid, and all that, you know. Despite this almost universal belief back then that the earth is flat, despite all those beliefs, you know, even in this modern era, today, there are people out there who still believe that the earth is flat.
Yes.
There are many of them there. There is such a thing as the society of the flat earth. They are out there all over the place. There are sects who believe that. There is this rapper here, B.O.B. I don't know if I keep going. That B.O.B. rapper, I don't know if you know him. They are one of the enthusiasts of the flat earth. They are even, that's why they have seen the satellite. They have seen the picture taken from the moon, the round earth. They say it's fake news. That's right. They are saying it. That's right. I'm saying the truth. I said that, you know. They say it's fake news. All these things. They didn't believe. They have seen the thing taken from the satellite, the picture of the earth. They say it's fake news. Can you imagine? Anyway, Bible said my thoughts. And despite all this in the Bible many, many years ago, centuries ago, Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 40:21. See? Bible says, Isaiah 40:21, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. See, call it a circle, right? Isaiah 700 years before Christ. The circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, that stretch out the heaven as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. For all the children of God, even if they have not had the telescope and there is no internet or whatever, we already believe the word of God. You see, God's word is always true. But he allowed them to even ask them the more. He let them invent this instrument. They can even see the handiwork of God. But many are not believing. Now, even they call it, that rendering in King James Version, call it the circle of the earth, right? There was a Bible version, what they call in around the late 4th century, the Latin translation of that verse. they called it the Vulgate. That is the Latin translation of the Bible called the Vulgate by the 4th century, you know. Here is how he renders that verse in King James Version, where he says, he's seated upon the circle of the earth. He said, he's seated upon the sphere of the earth. So, we call that a circle, like a sphere, like a teeth, actually, you know. So, and that is out there, you know. What about we say about our planet and some of that, you know. The ancients, you know, the ancients not only believed that the earth was flat, but they heard that underneath the earth, there are pillars holding it up. Like I said before, we were talking about this before here, I told you that be more added to it. There are pillars holding it up, and that, you know, so that's how they believe in the ancient time and so on. Well, the Bible does speak about pillars, you know, of the earth too, like in Job 9:6, which I will read that one quick, okay? So, he spoke about pillars. Job 9:6, which shaketh the earth out of our place. We are going to see more of that shaking later, before we finish. We shake the earth out of our place. And the pillars, you see, the pillars thereof tremble. So the Bible talking about pillars and so on of the earth too. In Job 26:11, he said the same thing. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. So looking at these two verses now, one will be thinking that, is the Bible teaching that the earth is built on giant stone pillars of some kind? Is that what the Bible is saying? Well, not where we read all the other scriptures, you know. That's why, again, we always say, yeah, don't take a Bible verse in isolation, you know. You have to look at the whole picture throughout the scriptures, you know, and before you can make a conclusion about anything, you know. See, because, you know, the Bible is like that, and so you have to take the whole thing. No, indeed. That time in UTR as pillars are figurative, really, you know. But look at other, you know, look at other scriptures, they are figurative. And so the thing is that so the Bible exactly even tells us this. You know that you know, in the seventh verse of the same chapter of Job 26, the Bible tells us that he stretches out the earth over the empty place and hanged the earth upon nothing. So if you are thinking that when it's a pillars, so you can see that it's hanging the earth upon nothing. We now see that they are not physical pillars, as people are thinking, you know, because of Job 26, right?
Yeah.
He said, he said, he stretched out the north over the empty place. That's right, sorry. He said, you know, sorry. So he stretched out the north over the empty place and hanged the earth upon nothing. So this is, of course, what science has come to later on. The science, the cultural understanding that the people of the earth, the astronomers, they come to accept this one around 1543, when a man, astronomer, Copernicus is his name. So back in 1543, when he published, an astronomical journal saying that, the solar system is set around the sun, and the earth and other planets are moving around it. Before 1543, the first astronomical belief was in 150 AD, when the mathematician, his name was Ptolemy, was a mathematician astronomer of Alexandria. He published that, he said that the earth was the center of the universe, that the sun and the planets are moving around the earth. That was what they were believing until the time of Copernicus. So, time of Copernicus, he moved close to the Bible than Ptolemy did and so on, that, you know. So, but the Bible already laid it out, you know, before, you know, and all that, you know. But they didn't believe until that time and so on. Nevertheless, according to the scriptures, the heart moves through space, supported by not solid objects. They know there are pillars, but they are not made of stones. That, I know that there are immaterial forces that are holding the heart in its destiny place, not only the heart, but even the other planets and some of that, you know. Apart from that, Bible talks about the rotation that the earth is rotating. It says that and so on. Just talking about the Bible and our planet, you know. And we're going to see the earth, past, present and the future. Bible has told us everything about it, almost what will happen about the earth and so on. He talks about the earth being a rotating and revolving. The Bible says so. The ancients saw the sun rise and set each day, as well as the moon and the stars. But what caused this celestial phenomenon was a great mystery to them. They don't know it, you know. They finally concluded that the heavenly bodies were somehow fastened upon kind of spheres. And it is this sphere that are moving around that causes motion and so on. They have all kinds of thoughts and theories about these things and all that, you know. Even with the ancient of time and all that, you know, ancient days and all that and so on, you know. So anyway, if the house is flat, everyone on it should have been experiencing day and night at the same time. That's right. That should be the case, right? You know. Did the Lord share this motion? I mean, this opinion?
There shall be an end to the world.
That's right. That's right. So, but the Lord Jesus, when he was here, did not share that kind of idea of a flat earth. So, we notice that when the Lord Jesus was speaking of his coming, in fact, there will be day in some areas and night in others. He said it, you know. Now, if the heart were flat, so that the heart experienced day and night at the same time, then the Lord Jesus coming will be to all people at the same time of the 24-hour life. Mm-hmm. But the Lord didn't say that. In Luke 17:34, here's what the Lord said. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The other shall be taken, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. So looking at this thing, the obvious implication of what the Lord is saying was that it was night time in one part of the earth, and day time in another part. That's the obvious implication, you see. In other words, the sun should be shining on one side of the earth, and there people will be walking in the field. But on the other side will be darkness. Therefore, people there will be sleeping. So this clearly implies a revolving earth with darkness and daylight following each other on every part of the earth. The Lord just, just left it like that, until you see it out. Just put it out like that, you know, it's true. Now, the book of Job revealed also that they had, you know, a revolving earth in Job 38, verse 12, you know, and through 14. Tells us that the earth is revolving also. He said in Job 38, verse 12, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? I call the day spring to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. Now look at verse 14. It is turned as the day to the sea, It is turned as the clay to the sea, and the sand as a garment. Where the question is that what is being turned in this question? What is being turned? So these verses seem very, very mysterious that I just read now at first. But when we look at it closely, we will know and understand what he's saying. One thing is sure in this verse, the Bible says something turned, right? What is turned? It is turned, in verse 14, it is turned as clay to the sea. You know, where the Hebrew word for that turned is called haphak, H-A-P-H-A-K. That is the Hebrew word for that word, you know, haphak. The word implies change. It means overturning. It means turning. You know, that's the word haphak in Hebrew and so on. So, that word is used in Job 37, 11 and 12 too. Which I will read that chapter, you know, that to show that what is turning, where I'm going, it is the hour that is returning for has been turning, as I'm going to see right now. In Job 37, verse 11, talking about where that word is also used. Also, by watering, he wearieth the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned. That one turned is also used by the word, the Hebrew word is abhaka. It is turned around about by its counsel, that they may do whatsoever he commanded them upon the face of the world in the earth. So that word apart is used, you know, also even concerning Ephraim. I'm saying that word apart is that turning thing, means turning, you know, in the Hebrew and so on. The Lord says, the Bible says about Ephraim in Hosea 7:8. And that's what the Bible says about Ephraim. Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake, not turned. That turned there is called the abhak, you know, like the Hebrew and so on. Thus we see the word abhak always refers to something turning, right? So we are just brought out many scriptures about that. If the Bible was speaking of the rotation of the earth, which means turning, then, it must be using the word abhak too, because that's what it's being in Hebrew, right? In Hebrew. So that's why in Job 38:14, he says it is turned. So if you look at everything, something turned, what is that it referring to, you know? So looking at it very closely, we will see that, we can analyze this a little bit, which I did before, but I won't mind to go through it again, to show that that word it turned refers to the earth. First of all, the word it is a pronoun, as we know, that refers to antecedent. Don't mind my big grammar. Antecedent means that some noun appearing before. That's what it means. Before this, that's a noun appearing before that word it. So what noun could it be? The noun must be singular because it for a plural thing it will use they, right? Yeah. But it's it, right? Has to be singular, right? So that it's referring to and so on, that So before you say to it, you will be talking about something, so now before that and so on, Anyway, given the verse 12 begins with the discussion about these things, so but 12 and 13 must be the noun to which the word it refers. So for single things, four single things are mentioned, before that verse 12. There are four single things mentioned in there, and it must refer to one of these four. In verse 12 of Job 38, as thou commanded the morning, that's one of the things, one of the nouns, in the that days, and caused the day spring, another noun, to know his place, another thing. That is my take hold of the ends of the earth. That's the fourth thing that is being mentioned, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. So it could be referring to money, or the day spring, or the place, or the earth. So the only thing that makes sense out of here is that, the money is torn, doesn't make sense, or the day spring is torn, doesn't make sense, or the place is torn, doesn't make sense, but the earth is torn as clay to the sea. What we are saying, the Bible just couched this rotation of the earth in these scriptures and something like that, look at it critically. No, it is referring to the earth. Only the first makes sense. The earth is turned as clay to the sea. That is, the earth, by its daily rotation on its axis, once in every 24 hours, right? Turned to the sun as clay is turned to the sea. It is turned to receive the morning and day spring. That is, it is turned, our earth is turned to the sun to receive its imprint upon it. And when it happens, they are turned to the sun and receive the impression of its golden beam. What happens? And everything grows green and beautiful upon the earth. Just what is happening and something like that, So the Lord God casts those things in there in the book of Job. One of the oldest book in the Bible, really, He talks about so many things and something like that, So the Bible talks right there about the rotating earth right there, on its axis. So now, the earth also revolves around the sun. We know that, So, the heart is not only in motion as it rotates on its axis, but there is another motion into, motion around the sun, which we know. It orbits the sun at an average of, now the sun is 93 million away. Actually, precisely, it's 92 point something million, but just just make it rounded, 93 million away, and one complete orbit takes about 365 1/4 days. So it's moving around its axis once in every 24 hours, turning every part of the face of the sun. Then also it moves around the sun, takes him 65 and a quarter days to do that and so on. Now, let me put it another microscopic scale. As we are sitting here, every second, we are in motion here, we are in space, we are in space. Every second, the heart has rotated around the sun 18.5 miles in every second. I want to break it down, you know, what is doing. They are figuring it out. We are here, but the earth is moving around the sun in its orbit, right? So, every second, it's moving 18.5 miles. Now, that is, in 1 hour, the earth has moved in its orbit 67,000 miles. Since we have been here, the earth has moved 67,000 miles in its orbit around the sun already, you know. And in 1 year, the earth in its orbit will have completed 584 million miles, you know. Can you see the manifold wisdom of God? All these things we show to show the magnificence of the Lord, the almightiness of our God, the great creator that will lift our faith up above anything that can comfort us and so on. Now, the sun's gravity, you know, compare the earth toward the center of that orbit, that is the gravity of the sun, keeping in that orbit, you know. So that's what's going on here. So now, if there were no gravitational force, if the sun is not pulling it to the orbit, what would have happened? Let me show you what will happen. Scientists say this also, and so on. What will happen? Let's say there's no gravity of the sun pulling it, you know, like you throw something off now, the heart has its own gravity, right? That you have to, what goes off has to come down, right? The same way, all the rotating planets, the sun is pulling them and keep them in their orbit. What if there is no gravitational force of the sun? What would have happened? The heart will just rush toward the sun at that speed of 18 miles per second. So you go toward the sun and so on and that, you know, and it will be lost. I will be lost in the great void of space. So if there's no gravitation, it will just move away from the sun gradually. Until one time, it will go so far away. Here is the calculation. In 1 year, the Earth would have been out beyond the orbit of Jupiter. So the after you go from the sun, the cooler is going to become, right? Because there's no sun to warm anything up. The sun is warming everything up, right? The further, if the sun doesn't pull it by its gravity to what is there in its orbit, keep on going away from the sun. And before you know it, you know, you are going to be buried in the thousands and millions of degrees below zero, because we are so far away from the sun. If the sun doesn't exert its gravitational force to put the earth in its place. But thank God, thank the Lord Jesus, for his infinite wisdom manifested in the grand design and creation, you know, that he did it and all that, you know. So, even in the creation, in Proverbs 8, talking about the wisdom of the Lord. Wisdom was talking here in Proverbs 8, and I want to read this one, talking about the Lord's wisdom, how 8:29 of Proverbs. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was with him. That's wisdom. I was with him as one brought up with him, and I was daily it's delight, rejoicing always before him. Talking about the manifold wisdom of God, the record design that God put in place in creation. And we're just zeroing on our heart now, you know. And so the heart not only rotates, like we said, presenting its surface every 24 hours to the sun, also instead of moving in a straight line out into space, its orbit continually turns toward the sun at the rate of 1 degree a day. Now, what do you mean by 1 degree a day? You know, because you can see that a circle, the orbit is not a perfect circle, but almost like a circle. And a circle has how many words? 360 degrees, right? So therefore, for each day, the earth has turned 1 degree of the circle and so on, you know. So anyway, so these two motions, rotation of the earth on its axis at like in Japan now, it's night there, you know. So in Japan now, or the Orient, you know, as we are talking right now, you know. So because of the rotation of the earth on its axis, you know. So now, these two rotations of the earth, these two motions, motions of the earth meaning the one on its axis and the one around the sun, is what the Bible describes in Job 38:12. I've been reading all morning, you know, where he said that hast thou commanded the morning to in thy days, and caused the day spring to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. See, why is not that the tilted earth revolves around the sun? What would I have according to astronomy and so on? If not because our heart is tilted, right? That's what it's doing. There will be the poles, either the north or the south pole, will be in total darkness. They won't have any money at all. But look, the manifold wisdom of God, the way the earth is tilted and so on, so those poles are able to get light, you know, as well as that, you know. So now, but because of these two motions, the earth enjoys the morning, you see, or the day spring at its extremity, which means the poles and so on and that, you know, the way it is so tilted in a way that the poles also receive daylight, you know, and morning and so on and that, you know. So now, let's see something here. Bible talking about the foundation of the earth. Given that the earth is not built on the foundation of stony pillars, like I've been talking about, and the scripture says in Job 26:7, the Lord hangeth upon nothing, right? So then, what are these foundations, you know? I know we touched it before, but it's always interesting. What are these foundations there? Not made of pillars of concrete. So what are they? So what holds the earth in its place? So today, we know one of these forces is the motion of the earth. We know that motion. So what will happen if the earth should suddenly stop its motion? What's going to happen? The law of gravity will cause it to fall towards the sun. See? Now what's going to happen? And they have measured scientifically the way what will take place. So if it should just stop moving now, what will happen? It will be only a matter of months before the heart will plunge into the fiery inferno at the surface of the sun. We know the temperature thereof is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the sun. If you stop moving for any time, for any second, that should stop moving at all. You just fall through to the sun, something like that, you know. Where, not immediately, because of the vast distances, right? There will be no greater change, notice, the first few days, because of the great distances. But soon, the fiery ball of the sun will grow larger and larger, because the earth is moving close to it, right? It will grow larger and larger each day, you know, something like that, you know, as we move towards it, something like that, you know. And people at the equator is the hottest of the path, right? Now, we will burn up to crisp in a few months at all, because the equator is the hottest, right? Now the poles are full of ice and so on. They will not get hotter quicker because of the snow cap on the poles and all that, you know. Life at the poles will continue a little longer, while ice at the cap will melt. What will happen? Great floods will begin to happen and so on. But just imagine now what will happen should the heart stop that motion for any moment. And soon, the brief respite in the North Pole the relief they have because they are so cold will be over. And all life will perish as the heart fell ever nearer to the blazing hall called the sun. That would have happened. Just get plumb into the sun. Should the heart stop moving? So the Lord knew what he was doing when he put this thing in motion right here. And so, the question is, can this ever happen really? Can the heart ever stop moving? Apparently not. There's no such thing in the Bible, right? So the motion of the heart follows its course around the sun, in summary. And its motion around its own axis is what constitutes what the Bible calls the foundation of the earth. There is no pillar of concrete and so on. So it is the motion around the axis once every 24 hours, and it's moving around the sun once in 365 years that constitutes the foundation of the earth Bible is talking about. Well, it is interesting to note one thing. The Lord made an indirect reference to the earth motion around the sun when he asked Job a question. So, like I said, the Lord made a mention of the motion of the sun around his, of the earth around the sun. When he asked Job in 38 of Job, verse 32, can thou bring forth Madaros in a season? Or can thou guide Arcturus with his sun? So the Lord was directly mentioning the motion of the earth actually around the sun. Where every Bible reader knows this. The marginal reference of that verse shows that Madaros is the signs of the zodiac. We have said that over and over here. The 12 signs of the zodiac appear successfully in the night sky throughout the year, one for each month, right? Due to the annual motion of the earth around the sun. Well, the Lord just told Job, the Lord did not always explain everything, right? He just asked Job a question. Can you bring forth Madaros? And actually, he didn't explain to us what he was talking about. Anyway, so he just asked Job. He explained it to him, as well as you know. So anyway, now, one more thing in the Bible about the earth. The earth foundations are out of court, the Bible said. The Bible repeatedly refers to the foundations of the heart, right? And then we notice the foundations are not of the heart itself, per se, As we have seen, the foundations hold the heart in its place. They are these immaterial forces that we saw, its motion on its axis, and then, around the sun, something like that, So, and then, in Job 38, verse 4, I want to show different scriptures where the Lord mentioned the foundation of the heart one more time. Couple of them, there are many of them, I mean by four of them. So because later on, David, by divine inspiration, they said that the foundation of the earth was out of course, right? Job 38:4. Where I was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? See? Declare if thou hast understanding. Of course, in Psalm 102:25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the work of thy hand. Even in Proverbs, which I read before, in Proverbs 8:29, when he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, he said, even Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 48, verse 13, my hand also has laid the foundation of the earth. And my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. Can you see? Even the old heaven, as immeasurable as you see, the Lord said, my hand just span it like that. I just wave it and so on. Yet to us, it's innumerable. So magnificent, the almightiness of the Lord. Talking about the foundation of the heart, right? Now, when the Lord originally created the earth, it was good, we are told. That's in Genesis 1:10, right? And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters called it seas. And God saw that it was good. So that was said at the beginning. It was good. Nevertheless, we know that man's sins, what's that? Man's sins have affected the earth in many ways. And all is not good at the present time. Yes, when God created in the beginning, it was good. But as we know today, because of the sins of man, man's sins upon the earth, all is not good with the heart right now. The once perfect climate of Eden has been seriously altered. We all know that, And not only that, today, we have destructive storms. Even as we talk right now, I believe in the East Coast, there have been destructive storms, devastating hurricanes, we see it all the time, tornadoes. We are entering those circles now, in the U.S. now, as we enter summer. This has become prevalent, Tornadoes, cyclones, etc. and so on, So something has gone wrong with the foundations of the earth. The Bible says so. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 82 about this thing, verse 5, and the last part. All the foundations of the earth are out of court. That's right. And so now let's talk about this now. Even the tilt of the earth's axis, which is at 26.5 degrees, It's too much. And results in extremity of climbing. You know that what he said, something like that, you know? So now, he said all the foundations of the earth are out of course. In fact, several things really. First of all, the foundation of the earth are not pillars, right? Like we have been talking all morning long. But they represent the balancing forces of the cosmos that hold the earth in its proper position. And all the heavenly bodies are in motion, all of them. The stars are in motion. That is, they move in their respective courses or orbits. Bible says the foundation of the earth are out of course, right? All the heavenly bodies are in motion in their respective courses or orbits, if you want. Yes? Courses means orbits too. They are in motion. They use the word orbit and so on. Even in Judges 5:20, we are told. Judges 5:20, we are told. They fall from heaven. The stars are in their courses. They are in motion too, in their courses. And they fought against the Sira. See? So everything is in motion. Even the stars and the moon, you know, they are in motion. And we're talking about what does he really mean when he says all the foundation of the earth are out of course. And we know the foundation, they are not pillars of concrete. So they are the cosmos forces that are holding together and so on. So the word cause, cosmos, the heavenly, you know, the universe, the heavenly and so on, they are continuing it. So anyway, now, the word cause, let's talk about that verse, Psalm 82:5, say all the foundation of the earth are out of course. So when the word cause, what does it mean? It implies action or motion. You know that what it means, you know? And we can bring some Bible things to bear, you know, to bear record here. Apostle Paul speaks of finishing his course, right? You know, referring to the race of life, which we are all running right now, and which is just ending. In 2 Timothy 4:7, I want to deal with that, the word course and so on. All the foundation of the earth, so it means motion and so on. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, he said. Meaning the race of life. I have kept the faith. Even in Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. I always had that scripture, right? That man, one day I'm going to talk about him, about his experiences, and that to encourage us as Christians and so on, that, you know. Don't forget, he wrote most of this script in the prison, right? And even none of these things move me, he said, you know, in Acts 20:24. Neither can I cast my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, see, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Yet in another time, Paul asked the saints to pray that the gospel might have a free course. What am I talking about? I'm talking about define that word cause. It has to do with motion, with action of some sort, right? So he told us by the Holy Ghost to pray that the gospel might have a free course. And implying action or motion, if you don't. That is in 1 Thessalonians 3:1.
Okay.
Sorry? Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. I have read all these verses to show this. Therefore, when the scripture speaks of the foundation of the earth are out of course, it can only mean the balancing forces, which we know are the gravitational and the centrifugal forces, you know, have been interfered with. That motion of the heart, you know, those forces that I talk about, that result from the motion of the earth, both around its axis and also around the sun, have been interfered with. That's what it means, you know. I mean, what else can it mean? Based on all this scripture and the meaning of the word cause, action, motion. So now, the fact is, these two great forces operate to keep the earth in orbit about the sun and determine the length of the solar year, right? Solar year for us is 365 1/4, right? Now, the sun's gravity was said, I will just skip this one now. So those two forces and so on, that, you know, they keep the heart, you know, in its orbit and so on, that, you know. So when he said the foundation of the earth is out of course, so something had happened. You know, these forces have been interfered with. And they say because of the sins of man, right? An interesting fact to note is that to see that what has happened, as it has been interfered with. And how do we know? Let's go back to the book of Genesis again at the beginning. That the year in antediluvian times was not 365 and a quarter days long. Not really. They were 360. We're talking that when the psalmist said that the foundation of the earth and so were out of course. We're now saying that what happened to these cosmic forces that hold the earth in its place have been interfered with. And because today the solar year is 365 and a quarter, but in the antediluvian time, the year was around 60 days. So what happened? You know, careful examination of Genesis chapter 7 and 8, I don't want to read all of those things, show that the pre-flood year was composed of 12 months of 30 days each, making 360 days a year. We know that. That's in Genesis 7 and 8. I don't want to list all those scriptures. Now, the first 5 months of the flood, for example, was exactly 150 days. That's in the book of Genesis 7 and 8. And each additional period of days can only fit to a calendar that uses 30-day month exclusively. So the antediluvian time was 360 days to a year, not 365 and a quarter. Or I'm saying this to try to, by the great God's grace, to explain what it means by the foundation of the earth is out of course. And we are saying it means that those balancing forces, you know, have been interfered with. And they begin to see that in the antediluvian time, the year was 360 days, not 365 and a quarter. Now, so, very clearly, the antediluvian year was the perfect year of 360 days. Yet, the present year is 365 and a quarter days long. Something has happened, and what can it be? What is it that has happened? Well, according to the laws, first announced by Kepler, you know, don't worry about the science of it, by Kepler. So Kepler announced a law. You know, these are astronomy and so on, you know. He says that, you know, when the length of time of the revolution of a planet about the sun has increased, so that's a change in the length of the revolution, I mean, the length of the, you know, that it takes a heavenly body to orbit around the sun, it means the distance of that particular object has also changed. In other words, because our heart now takes 5 and a quarter extra days to move around the sun, it means, I mean, for the time, whereas in the other time, it takes only 360 days, right? But in our time, it takes 5 and a quarter days. That means that there will be an increase of 5 and a quarter days in the time it takes our heart to move around the sun instead of 360. So Kepler said that if the time it takes any object like our earth has increased, then the distance of that object has also increased. It makes sense, right? Praise God. It must make sense, right? So, which means our earth has shifted position. Now, in calculating this thing, when they calculated this and so on, you know, that's what they said and so on. So, now, evidently, what we are saying now relates to the earth and so on, you know. So so that we explain why the Bible says in Psalm 82, verse 5, all the foundation of the earth are out of course. You know what they say? Astronomers say that 5 and a quarter days by which our period has increased around the sun is equivalent to about 1 million miles. That means that the earth has shifted away from the sun an extra 1 million miles from what it should be the delivered time. So that is equivalent in miles of what it is and so what, which means that in the antediluvian time the earth is like 92 million miles away from the sun. Now that 5 and a quarter day extra in the period translates to 1 million miles. So now it's not 93 million miles. Truly enough, the foundations of the earth are out of course. Let me wrap up here. The scripture indicates this condition will be, will it be like this forever? No, will the heart continue to rotate around the sun for 3.25 days forever? No. The Bible says there will be a correction coming. It wasn't there in the beginning, it was good. The time is coming when the law, because of the sin of man, this thing happens, so in the deluge. Time is coming when it will be corrected. You see, where the Bible says in Isaiah 30, verse 26, as I finish the wrap up here, so it will be corrected. 30 of Isaiah 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bandeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Well, logically, we know the heart of the moon reflects the light of the sun. If the light of the sun increases, of course, the light of the moon will increase too. But how does this explain that the heart is restored back, this particular thing? How do we know? You know what? The Lord allow time to do some things to really even bring more conviction to men to believe his word. So, well, why the Lord could use any means to accomplish this restoration of the earth to the original pattern where it is good and restored to 360 days per month, he could use any means and so on, that, you know. Here is a modern day astronomical discovery about the sun that God could use. I don't say we're going to use this one, but he could use it. So here is some findings in astronomy that can really tell you about this 38th of 26. Note how God will bring the earth back. Now I read. The sun is at least a mildly variable star. What's a variable star? If the sun is a star too, you know, a variable star is a star whose brightness is not constant. Once in a while, it will go so bright one way, the other way it will be a little bit dim, and so that, you know. So you see, our sun is like that. But because of the way our naked eye can't see it enough to see that when it is dim and so on, we can't see it. But God allowed these scientists to do these things now using telescope and so on. Now they don't know. They said they now know. So anyway, so a variable star is a star that for any number of reasons fluctuates in brightness. One reason for this fluctuation can be the internal functioning in that star. These stars expel large amounts of matter usually in the form of gas, and with it heat, light, and what is called solar wind. See? We are trying to say that God might use these things that they are finding out in the sun. This is what is happening in our sun, you know? Correct? No, I don't know that, you know. Now, when the sun expels gas and solar wind, as we have what they call the corona mass of 1989 here in the US, you know, it not only affects brightness and heat, but it plays havoc with the earth's magnetic field, they are saying. And it is becoming apparent too that this disruption can in turn trigger seismic and volcanic activity. All this happening in the sun that they are finding out can affect the earth so much and so on. It can trigger seismic and volcanic activity. I mean, earthquake that say on the sun by the events and activity in the sun. These are scientists, right? We don't say this, but we use it to straighten the earth back to where it was. You could use it too. We don't know. Now, you will ask me, how destructive are this kind of thing that happened in the sun? Where we were all here in 1989, when there was the corona, not coronavirus, it's called the corona mass, 1989. We are all here. When it happened, it turned out the lights in large areas of Northeast America. We are here, 1989. When it happened, lights were turned off, and the electric was turned off in the Northeast of the USA by the event of what is happening in the sun. In 2012, a massive war also happened as well, but we were lucky. It bypassed the earth, you know. So what happened on the sun, something that, you know. So anyway, now these things could causing seismic and all the kind of things from the sun happen, and can God can use them, I mean, to be what will you? We don't know, but it's there. So then you ask me, what's the difference, or what can a day of this kind of activity in the sun, what kind of destructive thing can it make on the earth? A NASA scientist says this about that. What will happen in a day? What is happening upon the sun? And I read, he says, the sun, again, is a very good star, he wrote. But it looks so constant to you and me. You didn't see that dimness. See? That's only a limitation of the human eye, he said. Modern telescopes and spacecraft have penetrated the sun's blinding glare and found a maelstrom of unpredictable turmoil. See, it says, solar flares explode with the power of a billion atomic bombs. That is our sun, you know. Clouds of magnetized gas, big enough to swallow planets, break away from the stellar surface. Holes in the sun's atmosphere, you know, spew millions miles per hour gust of solar wind. The type I said that happened before in 1989 that turned off electricity all of the northeast of America and all that, you know. And those are the things that can happen just in one single day when this thing really affects the earth and so on. You can now see when the Bible says that the light of the sun and so on will increase and all that, you know. Anyway, now that, let's finish up this way. Now, with what they are even talking about the sun, what is happening in there, that is even fulfilling another scripture. Other than the possibility of the Lord using the seismic and volcanic activity triggered by the activity from our sun, this maelstrom of unpredictable turmoil and solar flare being observed in our sun by these scientists is even a fulfillment of another important prophecy. What was it? No? This is concerning the imminent coming of the Lord. What was it? Luke 21:25. And there shall be signs in the sun. There you go. Signs in the sun. Scientists are telling us, just as if whether they don't say we already believe the Lord. There are signs, whether you can see with your eyes or not, but the Lord let them see. Look at the signs. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. So I'm going to conclude here right now this morning. Signs in the sun, like I just told you now, they are seeing it there, you know, turbulence in our sun. How about in the stars? Let me tell you something. Back in April this year, you all know the Orion constellation. If you picture him as a hunter, as they think, on his left shoulder is one of the brightest stars in the heavens. You know, you won't see Orion right now because it's coming out during the day. You can see him in the night sky, you know, only between November and February. February this year, something strange happened in one of the brightest stars in the heavens, which is in the left shoulder of Orion. What was it? You know, because it's a variable star too. You know, as well as you know. Now, astronomers back in February reported that a notable variable star was acting weird. This bright star in Orion is one of the brightest stars in the heaven. It's acting weird. Why am I doing this? Bible said that the signs in the stars, right? So bring it to our day. Now, this star is called Betelgeuse, and one of the brightest stars you will see in the night sky between November and February. This monster star is about 1,000 times the size of our sun. And according to NASA, it sits on the shoulder of the famous constellation Orion. The star is variable, like I said before, meaning that its brightness and this periodically. Lately, they said, it's been dimming more and more. And they think it's leading to what we call that this star will soon supernova, you know? I mean, can you imagine one of the brightest stars in the heaven, the supernova anytime from now, and and the star will run out of gas and be born and be blown up. Supernova. Scientists are saying this and something like that. Why am I saying this? Sign in the sun, sign in the stars. Ura has been there for how many? I don't know. He has been there. Now all of his study in our time. Then that bright star in his shoulder will just blow up. They are just thinking that what's going to happen. I don't know. Anyway, now finally now. And upon the earth, the stress of nations, right? Look at today. Where are we today? Global lockdown. Resulting from the coronavirus pandemic. The demonstration against the police brutality across the U.S. Now it's now global. The stress of nations. See? With perplexity and so on. I'm just bringing it to a close this morning. That the coming of the Lord are right now. All those signs happening simultaneously. That just February this year, they know that star happened. And they look at the distress of nations. Look at the economy and so don't know where it is going. You know, Bible says these things are happening. Now, finally, brethren, I won't say all this. Let us wash and pray. Luke 21:28, as I close here. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Wash, 36. Wash ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. Now the Lord will supply our needs. Amen. Now the Lord will supply. Let me read it. I think we Luke 12 right now. One of the, that he will supply our needs. Luke 12. Couple of verses in there, 22. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. 24th verse. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? 27th verse. Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today is in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? 29th verse. And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink. Neither the ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now he said unto you, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Right from the lip of the master. Lord, we thank you this morning. We have said all these things to tell ourselves we are at the end of the age. The earth changing and pretty soon to be restored to what it used to be. The signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. The perplexity in the nation, the sea, and the waves running. These are the signs that we are accompanying your soon coming. And thank you for the word of comfort. He said, when we see all these things, not to be afraid, not to get into anxiety, say, but rather look up. Our redemption draws nigh. And you have given us all this scripture in Luke 12 to guarantee us, as we trust you, Lord, that you will always supply our need. That our Heavenly Father knows that we need all these things that you mentioned and so that, So we thank you this morning. We go here this morning. Receiving your word into our heart, that will supply all our need according to your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, both spiritual and temporal need. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your holy promise, Lord. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Your word will not pass away. That your joy will remain in us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for putting us in this age. Thank you for the best age, I believe it is, Lord. You are full with all of his own trouble. Teach us, know what you have taught us already. Bible says, have no anxiety about tomorrow. sufficient on each day are the evil thereof. Tomorrow we take care of the things of itself. If there be any wise word, that is the wisest word in the whole wide world, that takes away anxiety from us, that keep our mind upon the Lord, we keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is set upon me. No matter what's going on in the world, and as much as our mind is set upon you, the peace of God that passes all understanding, we keep our minds, you know, and spirit in the Lord Jesus. So we thank you for blessing us this morning. Thank you for the time of rejoicing. We give you all praise and glory. Lord, thank you, Father, as we go this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your holy presence. The angel of the Lord encamping around us. Lord, the Bible says that shall no evil befall us, neither shall any place corner our dwelling. Thank you for giving your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Lord, we worship you. Whatever else need we have here this morning, individually, Lord, we believe and we trust you. They shall be supplied. And Lord, until we meet again, Lord. Lord, O God, you will watch between us, Lord. And we pray for our relatives, both near and far, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We, by faith, receive the same blessing on their behalf as we pray for them, as we pray for ourselves, both globally and nearby, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray for the children of God, in the name of the Lord, that we will all accept the consolation of the Holy Spirit for this day that we are living in, Lord. For truly you have not left us comfortless. Help us to rest in your promises, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And trust in the supernatural, like Elijah did before his translation. We need it in this hour, Lord, in the name of the Lord. It's there for us. So thank you for your children all over the world, everybody facing one thing or the other. If you are a Christian, feel the pressure everywhere. But not to be broken by any of them. We get stronger and stronger in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not by mind, not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. So we trust in the Holy Ghost, he will guide us even in the darkest hour of the age. Thank you, Father. Your word continues to be a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. So we thank you because you will keep us until that very day. I count us worthy, Lord, to all to escape all these things, Lord, as we stand blameless before you at your calling. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Giving all the glory, giving all the honor.